Welcome, guys, back to The Crunch. We have in the room with us in The Crunch Room today, Mr. David James, back once again. Thanks,
Hi,
DJ.
Jess. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. My esteemed co-host here to help me steer the ship.
My pleasure.
And we are welcoming David Murray today from Real Mark Urban. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, guys. It's a pleasure.
Very, very happy to have you here. We're going to get stuck straight into, I guess, a conversation with Dave this morning. We're kind of going back to the old format of The Crunch where I want to know a little bit about how you got into real estate. You are a rookie this year.
Last year I was a rookie.
Last year was your first rookie year.
Yeah.
Very, very successful so far.
Thank you.
And I know you've come from kind of a team and then gone out on your own.
Yep.
Tell me a little bit about that journey, how you got into real estate.
Cool. I got into real estate, I was 17 turning 18 and I was at UWA studying economics and my mechanic at the time was servicing my little Holden Astra and he said to me, what do you want to do with your life? And at that point in time, I was shadowing David Weir. He came into a shop I was working at selling clothes and suits.
Wait, David Weir is the one-armed agent?
Yeah. Right. Used to be an Exceed.
Yes.
Now maybe an SLP.
Great real estate person to shadow.
He was absolutely lovely. Gave me heaps of time. Yeah. So I was doing some shadow work with him, just doing home opens, whatnot, and thought to myself, love this. Like, I really, really like this. So cut a long story short, my mechanic at the time was the husband of an accountant who worked at Real Mark Premier or Real Mark Weller, Nick Luca and Matt Travier's old office.
Yep. Now thought leaders.
Yes.
Yep.
So at that time, Daniel was working there. Daniel Gonzalez, yes. And we just organically met. He reached out. We had a coffee. Before you know it, you're working in a team there for 3 years.
Wow.
So it was there. The great, I guess, opportunity I had there was seeing Real Mark Gwell up where Daniel was working with Maria become Realty Lane.
Yeah.
So January 2019, if I'm not mistaken. So that was pretty exciting. Got to see the rise of obviously a new company on the scene pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, worked as an assistant or part of a team in a support role for 3 years. And then thought to myself I needed to have a bit of a change. So left the industry altogether, went into recruitment, which you're very familiar with.
I am.
And then after about a year of working in recruitment, I had, when you rob from Peter to give to Paul and you realize, oh, this isn't actually my calling in life, real estate is. So made the decision to come back into the industry and haven't looked back.
I have a lot of follow-up questions for you there.
Please.
The first one being, I want to go back to Realty Lane, but before we do that, in terms of recruitment versus real estate, they're both obviously very sales, goal, target-driven businesses.
Yep.
Tell me about the difference and what it was about real estate that kind of made you want to go back to real estate versus recruitment.
Yeah, cool. I think the biggest difference would be I think you're in charge of your own destiny a lot more in real estate. I think it's complete autonomy as far as a practice of a craft goes. So I think, you know, if you're not waking up and making the phone calls, if you're not knocking on the doors, if you're not following up and giving your clients good service, that ultimately is going to impact you and you only. I think when I worked for a corporate like Robert Half, they were obviously on the New York Stock Exchange. You have a team. You have a manager, you have KPIs you've got to hit. So I was working in a team of about five ladies at Robert Half, and they kept me in line, and obviously we had goals as a team. But I think the one thing that I was always missing was kind of being in charge of my own day-to-day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the one thing that kind of continued to come back to me was this idea and narrative of, you can create a career for yourself in real estate and your input equals output, where I think when you do work for a big corporate sometimes, with no disrespect to corporate companies, sometimes, you know, it takes a lot longer to get a reward from I guess, the labor of your hard work.
Yeah, it's a very recruitment, especially a company like Robert Half. I was at Hayes. They're very, very corporates, you know. You have to toe the line, you have to do what they say, I had to wear stockings, you know, like there's a lot of things
Yes.
I know that you really have to, you're right, you don't get to drive your own.
Yeah.
So
I'm guessing no stockings at Crib Creative.
No, absolutely no stockings. The only rule we have here is no ripped jeans, and I can't even pull it out. So, you know, very different environment. Okay, going back to Realty Lane.
Yep.
I'd love to know what it was like coming up under Daniel, because he's a bit of an enigma, Daniel. We, yep. You know, we've tried to get him on here a couple of times. You don't hear a lot from him. You just yep. see incredible results from yep. that business. Tell me, what were some of the key things that you learned from him coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think you got to give credit where credit's due. You know, we were out of nowhere overnight. I think a lot of people can have tall poppy syndrome, mm-hmm. and try rain on people's parade. The work ethic that I saw happen within those four walls was like nothing else I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. Commitment to the process, and the, I guess, the, probably as corny as it sounds, the lesson I learned there is the sky's the limit. Dream as big as you want to dream. And I think that year that Daniel decided that we were going to qualify for value sold under a team category, even though it was more of an assisted category as what he technically was yeah. in. Mm-hmm. And we ended up having the chance to beat Team Yap, and he sold 119 and for the value of 132 mil that year. I think I realized quite quickly, got to surround yourself with people who are on a similar playing field in terms of mentality to you. So he had, you know, several great operators who are still in the industry now work at Realty Lane. Mm-hmm. You had Damien Lloyd, who is doing pretty big things at Ray White. Matt Nylander, who's just opened his own office at yeah. Shift. Miles Garner. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you look at the support work behind the scenes. We had Declan Turner, who's Craig Gasper's right hand.
Yeah.
And they're obviously doing phenomenal things. And then we had Ben Rudgley, who's at our office now. So and Jacob Wells, a friend of mine, who's now gone into new homes, and he's dominating in that space. So I think the one common denominator that I saw come out of that office was like attracts like. And I think that if you're in an office in an environment where there's a process, there's a goal, and you want to achieve something bigger than just, you know, waking up doing a 9 to 5, I think what I learned there. And Shane Beaumont said it the other day on a podcast, or not a podcast, sorry, at Momentum mm-hmm. with RealMark. He said, you've got to lean all in. Like in this industry, if it's just a job, there's probably other things you can do with your life that will give you more satisfaction. But if you want to lean all in, I think this industry is probably the most rewarding industry to be in.
Amazing. Dej, have you got any?
Yeah, I think, David, that grounding's been important then, isn't it?
Yep.
You know, that you've come into an environment where people want to succeed,
yep.
but more importantly, they give you that grounding that you can go away
yep.
and then construct your own career.
Absolutely.
And build your own destiny.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, rather than going into an environment where she'll be right, mate, you know, well, we don't do it that way. Oh, no, that's all rubbish what you see on those podcasts and yeah. motivational tapes, etc.
Yeah.
It really sets you up, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. Mm. And I think, DJ, to comment on that, learning from a young age that it's okay to fail. Like I remember door knocking and I was shaking. Like I was absolutely scared out of my boots. And, you know, realizing that the worst thing that can happen is someone says, no, I'm not interested. Or, you know, you do get the occasional person who swears at you and tells you to walk away from the door. And you've got to just realize different people have different things going on in their life. Mm-hmm. And you rocking up on their door trying to offer a service or to just be a value to someone is, you know, I think if you do it enough times, you start to realize, knock on 100 doors, 99 people say no. And just when you think it's the end of the world and this isn't for you, you knock on that 100th door and someone turns around and says, hey, we're thinking of selling. Mm-hmm. So I think that was really important. I see a lot of people come into the industry and, you know, I'm 25, so don't let me patronize anyone. I'm young, but I see a lot of young people come into the industry and they think that success is deserved. And I think that they assume that all you got to do is make a few phone calls, maybe knock on some doors, and you should get listings and signboards in the ground and it's all hunky-dory. But I don't think they realize the people who have made it, you know, your top 1%, they've done the hard yards. They've done the non-negotiables that other people would probably, be scared to do. So just to comment on what you were saying, DJ, I think learning from an environment where it's okay to fail and, you know, putting yourself out of your comfort zone as well.
Yeah, very much so. And did you find that experience that you had And then when you came back into the industry, into the real estate industry, that fast tracked you? That you were able to get some runs on the board relatively quickly?
Yeah, I think at the risk of obviously trying to not sound arrogant, I think the ability to work in a fast-paced environment for 3 years where my sole role was at that point in time lead prospecting or buyer register callbacks and nurturing buyers, and obviously your buyers are your clients as well. So if you can learn to take care of someone and they find a property with another agent, then you should be, if you're doing something right, you should be getting that phone call to say, hey, listen, we've bought something. Unfortunately, it wasn't through you guys, but given the nurture and the relationship and the care you gave us throughout that point in time, we'd love to get you through the door. So I think doing that for someone else for so long, or, you know, for 3 years, the rewards emotionally when you started to do it for yourself were tenfold.
Yeah.
Like when you're calling someone and you're not relying on someone else to convert the lead or to give the same level of service, but it's rather you going in the door and then having that kind of relationship, that's pretty special.
And are you still doing, are you still prospecting like that today?
To be completely vulnerable and raw on the show, I think one thing I shared at Momentum was that, you know, the market being the market that we've had, it was very easy to fall back into bad habits. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, I look at the first 12 months of when I got back into the industry, it was every Saturday and Sunday non-negotiables callbacks after home opens. I always got taught, and I'm a big believer that if you're calling your buyers back on a weekend, you're already two steps ahead, because a lot of agents either aren't calling them back or are calling them back during the middle of the week. So I think I'd like to say old habits die hard, but it was quite frightening. I looked back and I had about, I target and market myself in North Perth, and I had about 5 sales in March in North Perth, and then 0 in April, 0 in May. So, you know, just as quick as you can get some runs on the board in this industry, you can also get humbled quite quickly. So it's back to basics now. And I think one thing that I was wanting to talk about on this podcast is, you know, being vulnerable and being aware. Mm-hmm. And I think if you can turn around and stop feeling sorry for yourself and go, you know, you look at, I know, for example, Craig Gasper's team, you look at Declan, you look at the numbers they do and how well they do. I know that they're still hitting the phones every day and that they're still taking care of their nest egg. So I think you look at the people who do it well and do it consistently, and I doubt that they're dropping the ball.
Yeah. That's, no, I mean, no. You know, you mentioned Shane Beaumont before. We obviously, he's a very good friend of ours.
Yeah.
And that's something he has been preaching for years. You know, up until last year, he used to have his little cricket clicker clicking over his calls every day. And without a doubt, it is what you get out is what you put in this industry.
100%.
So I would love to talk about your move to Realmark then, and then that's why you decided to move on to Realmark.
Yeah.
How that all went and how that culture, it's a very specific culture that they've got there at Urban.
Yep.
How you've kind of found that and found your feet there.
Absolutely. So coming back into the industry, I was pretty keen on a couple of places, and Realmark was not one that I even thought about. And I think John Percadani knows this. I was just very, very casually introduced to the business. Miles sat down with me one day and asked if I would come work with him and do some assistant work. And I thought, bugger that. I don't want to work. As much as I respect Milesy, I didn't want to work with someone again.
Good on you.
And it ignited a bit of a fire in me. I think being asked that question, I was like, no, I can do this on my own. And you know, I want to build my own little team that I can support one day. So I'm not going to be able to do that if I don't take that leap. So Milesy mentioned to me one day in a conversation, very casually, John is just interested in working with good people. And that kind of hit home with me, because I had never heard a principal or someone say something about a principal to that effect. So I'd interviewed with a couple of companies prior to that. One of them, I'll obviously have to omit their name, but I approached them and was pretty passionate and really wanting to work with them, and got told that I wasn't ready and that, I could maybe find a role within their team as an assistant to one of the reps, but that wasn't of interest to me. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting. John sat down with me, listened, didn't feel the need to sell the business to me, where a lot of principals that I had spoken to around that, you know, it was all about this is what we can do, this is what we can offer, this is what you'll achieve if you're here. John just asked me what was important to me and listened. And I think just the way he nurtured that conversation at that point in time, Scott Fletcher was there and, yeah, just got a really, really good feeling about the business and quite liked how they have commercial PM, strata, leasing all in that one office. I found it was a nice mix between, there was a bit of camaraderie going on to this kind of bigger effect than just a resi sales team where there can be a lot of ego. So that was probably something that resonated really hard with me. Yeah. Just felt right when I met with them, as corny as that sounds.
I guess, because CJ and I were talking about Urban before, and it is a business that produces great rookies, right? John does tend to bring on a lot of, like Ryan is a great example, Ryan Smith. Miles obviously was someone like yourself who hadn't really been out on their own.
Yeah.
And then they really are producing great results, whereas a lot of other agencies, as you say, are kind of not willing to take that risk, particularly, you know, with now they have to pay the award and so they're wanting to bring on more experience. How did you find the process once you were in there?
Yeah.
In terms of nurturing and kind of building you as a rep on your own?
Yeah, so I think you look at the youthful energy in that team and you've got the likes of Ryan, who I think had zero real estate experience, hit the industry and then did some pretty special things within his first couple of years. I looked at the likes of Adam Gizzo, who said, hey, I want to take on Riverside Properties and I want to focus on green title established properties above a certain value. Mm-hmm. And then I looked at a couple of different people in the team and I thought this team's going to probably grow into a much bigger asset than what they are right now in the next kind of several years, and that excited me. So as far as what the environment is there, I like it because no one micromanages you. Mm-hmm. But if you want the support and you go, hey, John, or hey, Matt, I need to sit down with you for half an hour and discuss, I'm going into a listing appointment. I've literally sat down with John before, told him I'm going up into a listing appointment against a specific operator who maybe I have focused too much on. And he's just brought you back down to basics and spoken about the process and why you're going to be able to obviously take care of the client. So I think that's pretty raw when you can sit down with someone who started the company in 1989 and get an hour of their time and their present. Mm-hmm. And you know, they've probably got much bigger fish to fry. Mm-hmm. But if you can get some time with them and feel that genuine care for you to achieve, mm-hmm. It's pretty special. So that's what I think has been able to probably leverage Urban's lack of experience in the marketplace.
Yeah.
And I think it's only going to hopefully grow and grow.
Awesome. Tell me about the North Perth pocket.
Yes.
Why'd you choose it? It's a tough little pocket, lots of very established agents and agencies.
Yep.
In there,
yep.
Coming into that area as a rookie,
yep.
What was your why did you choose it, or what was your kind of game plan to get some momentum?
Yeah, great question. Growing up and then working at Realty Lane, I went to school in Hillary's, mm-hmm. St. Mark's High School, and all I ever wanted to do was we lived in Kingsley. Mum and Dad still own our family home in Kingsley, and I thought I was extremely underprivileged because I had to catch two buses to school and then ride my 50cc moped when all of my friends were able to just walk. So the original plan was to always try farm Hillary's and target Hillary's. Mm-hmm. As life happens, things change. I moved into a house on Pennant Street with three guys in the midst of COVID before I came back into the industry, and just fell in love with the area. Had no context behind why we moved there. Fell in love with the area, fell in love with the people. Obviously a beautiful mix between an older demographic and an older generation, predominantly European, and quite a young, youthful Gen Z millennial influence. Yeah, exactly right. But love the culture, the cafe, the bar scene, and I think there's a lot to offer there in terms of a little inner city precinct. And then it just felt quite right, and I guess that's why I probably resonated with Urban as well, because of their presence in Leaderville. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure that I was working under a brand where if you were knocking on a door and you said, hey, I'm David from Realmark, it wasn't so much of a strange conversation. It may be a little bit more familiar. So, yeah, the market was obviously, I got told from a young age as well, when you try farm a market and go out into the marketplace on your own, try hit a market where there's a monopoly, where there is one operator who dominates, because it may be a more successful effort to try take market share. So I thought that was obviously a pretty good strategic reason to enter in from a commercial point of view.
Excellent. And you're doing pretty well so far. It's working out for you.
Thank you.
What's your goals for this year? And financial, what are you?
Yeah. So I've just put on a first, I call her my boss. I don't really like the word assistant. So I just put Ashley on, who the idea behind putting Ashley on is to, again, get out of the comfort zone and to try grow. I think as far as a GCI number goes, when you're sitting between that sort of 500 and 750, you do wonder, how am I going to get, not everything's about GCI, but as far as business growth goes, you wonder, how am I going to make that, take that next step? So goals are, yeah, Ash is up and running now. Obviously, from a market share point of view, would love to take more market share. But I think just double down on the activity. I think John talks a lot about everyone focuses on the scoreboard, but people don't focus on the things that you need to do to get runs on the board. So I think I've learned it's okay to take a sideward step as well. Like, this is a long-term game. And, you know, listening to Shane talk a lot about sustainability at Momentum, rather than burning out and finding your why. So I guess to answer your question, goals for this year are to continue growing, but just to double down and really lean in. I think sometimes you think you're leaning in, and then you realize through conversations or experience with other people, there's a lot more room to grow.
You're not making those buyer callbacks that you are.
Exactly right.
Doing.
Exactly right.
Then he's going to start doing.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You're speaking DJ's language over here. My very last question is about the market at the moment. So it's a tough market. Listings are very, very tight.
Yep.
How do you think, and I guess over the last year and a half, things have changed a lot, but how do you think this is kind of setting you up for the future?
Yeah.
Kind of putting in place this market.
Absolutely. I mean, we've touched on it already, but, you know, the buyers that you speak to and the people that you meet at home opens, they tell the story. So a lot of them have said to me, you know, oh, we've noticed the market's tightening up because we're actually getting people call us back now. I think, you know, people remember how you make them feel. So Declan and I were on the phone yesterday because a client who bought an investment property off me in North Perth is now looking at buying a family home from them in Wembley. And they called me to ask for advice on how to approach that O&A scenario. So I think the way that you take care of people in terms of their journey and what they're looking for, and I always think about it in terms of when you're going into an appraisal, it's also a buyer like requirement meeting. So what is the buyer, what is the client looking for, why are they looking to move, without being too demonstrative and asking them invasive questions, but really making sure that you're taking care of them from that journey from A to Z. So I think strong market, weak market, you know, moderate market. You guys said it to me a while ago, actually. I think I called about a year ago and asked what you guys were seeing. Mm-hmm. And I remember you guys saying, you know, Dave, strong market, weak market. The good operators are still having plenty of listings and plenty of photo shoots and videos booked. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a reason to double down and gain market share. I think in this market where supply is, you know, on average halved, mm-hmm. I think we're just over 6,000 listings, mm-hmm. DJ.
Yeah, or, it is.
So, yeah, an equilibrium for Perth markets, 12 and a half, I believe, or around there. So I think great opportunity to gain more presence and to just be in front of more people and helping and being creative as well. Like I said to a couple of the guys that I work with in my office, I remember when I had no listings, I was attacking expireds with drawings and trying to find property for people when other agents were not willing to do so. So being creative with your prospecting and remembering, if you're going to make 20 or 30 phone calls, what's the reason for the phone call, rather than just ticking it and going, okay, I made 30 phone call today, what's next? Mm-hmm. I think actually have a purpose and a meaningful conversation every time you do have one, rather than just having a quantity game.
Excellent. Deej, have you got any final questions?
Yeah, let's drill down a little bit more. Please. On David before we go. I presume the Astra's gone.
The Astra's gone.
And And did you finish your degree?
I did finish my degree. DJ mom and dad always said to me, you know, typical South African parents, they wanted us to fulfill the opportunity that we had given to us that they may not have. So it was very important for them that their three children finished their degree, which I did. And not that I've ever used economics in my life other than demand and supply.
You use it, you just don't know.
Exactly right.
And just one more before you go.
Please.
How do you grab some me time? How do you grab a little bit of time out, David?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, DJ, I've noticed when you try to do everything at once and you take a half day here or a half day there, you're actually not being as effective with your time. And I had a couple of mentors who I look up to, Maddie Nylander, Damien Lloyd, a few of those guys. They actually said to me, take a day off. And if you're diverting your phone or if you've got an automated message, like some things can wait. So going to Arik on Friday, flying to Gold Coast with a couple of the guys from the team, which is exciting.
Talking about real estate with your mates, that's your time off.
That's your time off. Yeah.
Good point. Yes. We love it, but don't we?
We do.
Of course we do.
And I think as well, like the people that you look up to, you know, like everyone in this industry probably, whether they're willing to admit it or not, they listen to Gavin Rubenstein, they listen to Maddie Steinway, we listen to the guys, Alexander Phillips. And the one thing that they all say, which I haven't put into place, but I think is a consistent message in their time off, is they block out the year in quarters and sprint, and then they take like a week or two off and then they sprint. So I think that's probably a good lesson.
Great
there.
Idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful.
I'm done.
You done?
Thank you,
that
Jess.
That was excellent, Dave. I've really enjoyed learning a little bit more about you. Very impressive.
Been a pleasure to be on the show, so thank you.
Look forward to seeing what you do in the next couple of years.
Oh, thank you very much.
Big things.
Thank you, guys.
Well done, David.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, mate.